Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 92 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Keneally Roberts.
It doesn't say where you got to move 1 foot or you got to move 100 feet, but they're not relocating like they're supposed to.
A Moorhead business owner isn't happy about food trucks in the city's downtown.
An event focusing on social justice issues will take place on Saturday.
State lawmakers were briefed on the teacher shortage yesterday.
The Kentucky Center for Economic Policy is calling for more funding for public schools.
The Kentucky State Police announced a new victim advocacy program today.
In sports, Round Boys Soccer, Volleyball, and Moorhead State Volleyball are in action tonight.
Bud Luke has a stock report.
Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 69. We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this news.
A local business owner believes the ordinances regarding food trucks in Moorhead need to be more stringent. Steve Williams is the proprietor of Pasquale's, Bluegrass Barbecue, and the Rock Tap House. He discussed the issue during this month's city council meeting. Williams says the trucks need to move more frequently, putting Moorhead's ordinances on par with other cities throughout the Commonwealth.
And they only allow 2 weeks. The municipalities I spoke to today, they allow 2 weeks at a time. They don't move it, they move it for them.
So they're allowed to stay there 2 weeks?
That's their ordinance.
That's 2 weeks. More than ours. 2 weeks.
So, I mean, the danger in changing something would be that it would go to 2 weeks.
We're at 5 days right now.
Yeah.
I'll get you some more information on what Bardstown's doing.
Williams says his opinions are reflective of other restaurant owners. However, Moorhead City Planner Rodney Fouch says Williams is the only business owner to come forward to him on that matter.
An event focusing on social justice issues takes place this Saturday in Moorhead. We the People is supported by the American Civil Liberties Union of Kentucky's Smart Justice Advocates Program. The event hopes to provide opportunities for civic engagements and to open conversations between participants and experts who are working to resolve issues in the justice system. Chief Organizer Gene Dethridge talks about what he hopes to achieve with the event.
Engage people in a serious and legitimate conversation, not only with people that are directly involved with the justice system, but also people that have been directly affected by it, to actively search their own conscience and really ask themselves questions about how is it that we want to structure our society.
We the People will take place on September 14th from 1 to 3:15 p.m. at the Moorhead Conference Center. The event is free and open to the public.
State lawmakers heard an update on the state's teacher shortage yesterday. Since April, there have been more than 2,000 vacancies posted on the Kentucky Educators Placement Services website. Educators testified to the importance of prep programs, mentoring, competitive salary, safe working conditions, and a host of other factors in attracting new teachers. But one Democrat on the Joint Education Committee, Representative Tina Bojanowski, asked about the word that's dominated recent legislative sessions, pension.
I've known several people personally who have retired earlier than they may have otherwise because they're not sure that they would maintain the benefits that they have to date.
Bojanowski is a special education teacher in Jefferson County. Jim Flynn heads up the Kentucky Association of School Superintendents. He says the picture doesn't improve when one looks at how many students are in the pipeline to actually become teachers.
Shrinking state funding per student is having disastrous effects for public school systems and their communities. That's according to a new report from the Kentucky Center for Economic Policy. The state education budget includes federal dollars, and the state's portion of that funding has decreased by more than $120 per student since 2008. Ashley Spaulding is the senior analyst for the KCEP. She says what comes out of the next legislative session will determine the state's next trend for education.
It may be very daunting for lawmakers to face where we really are with education funding. We need to raise additional revenue in order to invest in our schools, in our kids, and in our classrooms.
Underfunded school districts must make up the difference with local dollars or cut critical programs and services. Spalding says many Kentucky schools have been forced to reduce course offerings, school services, and staff levels.
Black Jewel miners, who have been protesting for more than 6 weeks, will now have to wait longer for a resolution. An order was filed yesterday in West Virginia Bankruptcy Court stating that the parties involved are engaging in good faith negotiations to settle outstanding matters without court intervention. WYMT reports if the parties cannot agree outside of court by October the 1st, mediation with a federal magistrate will occur no later than October 15th. In the event of an agreement being reached, Black Jewel defendants have until October 21st to respond.
Hurricanes, raging fires, and melting glaciers are adamant reminders the climate is rapidly changing. A new poll shows party affiliation plays a large role in whether Americans think climate change is an urgent crisis. Mary Snow is a polling analyst. She says 56% of registered voters nationwide believe climate change is an emergency, and 67% think the U.S. should be doing more to address the issue.
Not everyone, though, is feeling the sense of urgency. Democrats, 84% say it's an emergency. Independents, 63%. But 81% of Republicans say it's not an emergency.
Snow says almost three-quarters of people ages 18 to 34 believe climate change is an emergency.
We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
The Kentucky State Police announced a new victim advocacy program today. The statewide effort aims to keep crime victims informed as their cases progress through the justice system. Many officials, including Governor Matt Bevin, were on hand during the press conference broadcasted on KSP's Facebook page. State Police Commissioner Rick Sanders says this comes as a result of a discussion by the Commonwealth's Criminal Justice Policy Assessment Board.
And one thing that he heard was from victims saying, you need to pay more attention to us, not you, the governor, but the justice system needs to pay more attention to us. And from that, we started talking and we decided this would be the thing to do, to be a spokesperson for the victim of crime.
The program calls for the hiring of advocates for each of the Kentucky State Police posts. It has an initial funding term of 18 months.
Gambling in Kentucky would be greatly expanded to help pay for the Commonwealth's staggeringly underfunded public pensions under a plan released Thursday by Democratic candidate for governor Andy Beshear. WMKY's Tanner Boyd has the story.
Republican Governor Matt Bevin has consistently resisted efforts to expand gambling in the Commonwealth. Under Beshear's proposed plan, all new revenue streams from expanded gaming would be earmarked to fund public pensions for teachers, police officers, firefighters, and social workers, among other public servants. Beshear says the sums could be substantial, especially if it is expanded to include legalizing casinos, capitalizing on fantasy sports betting, and preparing for online poker. Kentucky has struggled with historically underfunded public pensions. According to WKYT, Bevin has pointed to societal costs associated with gambling addiction. The Beshear plan says the State Cabinet of Health and Family Services would be directed to reevaluate its efforts to find such problems. For WMKY News, I'm Tanner Boyd reporting.
Matt Bevin is again taking aim at a Franklin Circuit judge he accuses of partisanship. Bevin is asking the Chief Justice of the State Supreme Court to take Franklin Circuit Judge Philip Shepard off the case and appoint a special judge. Bevin's team had asked the judge to recuse himself after liking a Facebook post that applauded campaign volunteers for Andy Beshear, the Democratic Attorney General who's running to unseat Bevin in November. The governor is now arguing Shepard is making a mockery of Kentucky's legal system by staying on the case. This is Bevin leveling similar charges in a radio interview in 2018, during which he labeled the judge an incompetent hack.
He's a former Democrat operative. He used to be in a previous Democrat administration as an appointee. Now he happens to be a quote-unquote judge. But the law and following the law is of little regard to him.
Shepard has said he's liked Facebook posts by Republicans, too, and was simply showing his support for the political process in general. Beshear's lawsuit challenges the state labor cabinet's authority to investigate teachers for absences during the recent legislative session, though the probe has already concluded.
The Kentucky Supreme Court will travel to Somerset for death penalty arguments later this month. The session will be held September 19th at the Center for Rural Development. The session is open to the public, and after the arguments, justices will take questions that aren't related to pending cases. The Somerset appearance is part of a public education program that was started in 1985. Sessions have been held in locations across the state since then.
New survey data shows the number of Americans without health insurance is on the rise for the first time since the passage of the Affordable Care Act. And as WUKY's Josh James reports, a liberal-leaning think tank warns Kentucky is beginning to follow suit.
The Kentucky Center for Economic Policy says new American Community survey numbers show the uninsured ranks growing by about 535,000 between 2017 and 2018. In Kentucky, the uptick is small, just 0.3%, but when added to a similar increase between 2016 and 2017, KSEP says Kentucky's data is beginning to follow the national trend. The group says the numbers forewarn of, quote, deeper coverage losses that will occur in Kentucky as federal and state policy choices erect barriers to coverage. While Kentucky saw one of the most dramatic drops in uninsured, going from 14% to just over 5% between 2013 and 2016, Republican Governor Matt Bevin has said expanded Medicaid is unaffordable in its current form and is proposing changes. The Bevin administration's Medicaid waiver would add new work or community engagement requirements for some able-bodied, non-elderly recipients of government aid. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
A grant announced last week for nearly $2 million is helping Leslie County bring new opportunities to the area and improve existing infrastructure. The new project will take place in a school that has been decommissioned for several years. Ricky Baker, executive director of LKLP Community Action Council, tells WYMT this project includes several components and partners.
We will provide some job training activities inside the building, as well as an additional teleworks hub. We're going to be working with Hazard Community and Technical College. They're already in the rear of the building in the old baseball field area.
The grant is part of a nearly $8 million project. Baker says they hope to have the initial remodeling phase begin later this year.
A Lexington vape company is in danger of closing following President Trump's announcement on possibly banning certain e-cigarette flavors. 723 Vaping started in a kitchen and opened the doors to a new idea in 2014. The multi-million dollar company is one of the largest flavor manufacturers in the state and provides flavoring for several shops in the area. Kevin Engel is the vice president of 723 Vaping. He tells WKYT that the stigma surrounding vaping is false.
It all started with my father dying from lung cancer, and I started vaping and quit smoking, and it was the only thing that had ever worked. That led to maybe we should start a business and help other people quit smoking. So it was never the goal to sell to teens. The FDA has plenty of data of when they've done store inspections on who sells to minors and who doesn't. And overwhelmingly, it wasn't brick and mortar vape shops.
The Food and Drug Administration plans to develop guidelines to remove all vape flavors from the market, except tobacco.
And now taking a look at your region's weather. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 69. Friday, mostly sunny and hot with a high near 91. Friday night, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly cloudy with low around 68. Saturday, 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms before 9 a.m., mostly sunny with a high near 85. Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low around 63. Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 87. Sunday night, partly cloudy with a low around 66. Taking a look at current temperatures in the WMKY listening area, it's 91 degrees in Flemingsburg, 93 degrees in Maysville and Ashland, 92 degrees in Inez and Mount Sterling, 94 degrees in Lexington, and it's 92 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
On our feature segment today, the Poppy Mountain Bluegrass Festival is making a return to Rowan County next week. WMKY's Jonathan Burton has the story.
This year's Poppy Mountain Bluegrass Festival will mark the 27th appearance of the family-run event. The Stevens family holds the festival on the third week of September every year. A variety of performing artists will appear from September 17th to the 21st. Dewey and Brody Stevens say this will be the first year running the festival for two members of their family.
It's the first year for our brother and our cousin, Melvin Stevens and Ernie Stevens. They just got it kind of late, and I think they've done a wonderful job getting a good lineup for what time they had to get it all together.
Dewey says there will be a lot of talent on stage this year.
Oh, we got some of the big bands like Don Rigsby, Ralph Jr., Third Time Out, Sideline, Lonesome River Band, and local close people as Sammy Agnes going to be there. We got some good bands that just getting started. It's Lacey Creek and Caney Creek, Open Highway, really, really good bands.
Hookups for campers are still open.
Not full yet, but you know, there's more people coming, but we still have electric and water hookups left and for campers,
yeah. Yeah, and I think just about every campsite still has a few spots. So there's a lot of spots available, but I don't think there's any that are completely sold out in any sections. $20 a night, so a pretty good deal for camping, which includes the water and electric.
Tickets can either be bought online, over the phone, or at the gate.
PoppyMountainBluegrass.com website. Tickets, and you can buy tickets actually on there. You can also call Janie Stevens at 606-356-4567. She can sell them to you on the phone with using that method. They'll also be available at the gate.
The option for an all-week pass is included, which allows early access to the festival.
The all-week pass, which is the best way to go, it's $140, and that gets you the weekend before the festival, which is this coming weekend, the 13th and 14th. And then the actual festival starts Tuesday the 17th and goes through the 21st. You can buy individual day tickets, but your best bet is that all-week pass because it gets you the weekend included.
The festival will have a week's worth of music, including an additional showcase barn with other groups.
Tuesday through Saturday, you'll have music going on at both the main stage and the showcase barn, so you can kind of bounce back and forth, or if there's something you like better at one place or the other, but you get both of those. So like you said, there's seven nights of music. You can buy that all week. You're looking at about $20 on average a night that you're getting good music for. So,
Brody says, as always, safety is a big concern.
So there's a really good security team. It's a different people that are there this year, actually, than we've had in the past. But that security team, and then there's a whole lot of people, family and beyond, that are doing some oversight on that as well, that may not necessarily be labeled as security, but there's always a good number of people on the lookout trying to keep people safe. And I know the local police force is always available and kind of be walking around some.
For further information on the Poppy Mountain Bluegrass Festival, visit the website at poppymountainbluegrass.com. For WMKY News, I'm Jonathan Burton.
It's 448 and 91 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Keneally Roberts and Cody Robinson, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. We're so glad that you've joined us on this sunny Thursday afternoon. Lori Likens has a look at sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Round County Farmers Market, a certified Kentucky Proud Market, 11 a.m. Wednesdays and Saturdays downtown Morehead on U.S. 60 near the City Park. The Round County Farmers Market offers homegrown fruits, vegetables, and baked goods. Accepting WIC and Senior Farmers Market nutrition vouchers and participating in the Community Farm Alliance Double Dollars program, supporting local farmers, the Round County Farmers Market is Kentucky Proud. Rowan's boys soccer and volleyball and the MSU volleyball team are in action tonight. For WMKY Sports, I'm Lori Likens. The Rowan County boys soccer team heads to Harrison County tonight. The Vikings are looking for a little redemption after falling to Montgomery County at home on Tuesday. The loss moved Rowan to 8-1 and 2 on the season. Head coach Max Hammond says tonight's game will be a test for his Vikings.
They're undefeated. Should be a really strong team for them this year. They haven't played super tough competition yet like Montgomery has, but I expect it to be another really hard-fought game. You know, we've got to be ready and prepared and focused, and if we lose track mentally for just a few seconds, that can be all it takes for that team to score.
Game time tonight in Cynthiana is set for 6:30 p.m. The Round County Senior High School volleyball team is resuming district play this evening. The Vikings are most recently coming off a shutout victory over Fleming County Tuesday. Now set to take on Menifee County, Rowan head coach Steve Walters says this is the time of the year it gets serious.
We try to put a lot of emphasis on our district games because, you know, we're seeded, and when we go into the district tournament, having that number one seed and getting to play that fourth place team is a real benefit. So we've been lucky so far. We've beat Bath County and we beat Fleming. So if we prevail tonight, that would give us the number one seed.
Rowan plays at home tonight. First match is set for 7 o'clock. Rowan County's football team is on the practice field this afternoon. The Vikings suffered their first loss of the season to Raceland last week. As they gear up for Fleming County tomorrow night, head coach Kelly Ford says his team has focused on recovering from last week's defeat.
I mean, number one, they played really physical. They brought it right to us, and I mean, like I told the guys, they hit us right in the mouth. You know, we talked about, we knew they were a good football program. We knew that they was going to give us a good look of how we need to be down the road. So that's why we scheduled this game. You can't win them all, but we'll go back to work and get it correct.
Game time tomorrow night in Moorhead is set for 7:30. For just the second time in program history, Moorhead State Volleyball heads to the Sunflower State, competing at the Kansas Volleyball Invitational. The four-day three-match event hosted by Kansas also features matches against Arizona and Syracuse. Moorhead State faces three opponents from Power 5 conferences in the same weekend for the first time since the term was adopted, colloquially, in 2006. Head coach Jamie Gordon says their first opponent, Kansas, has an outstanding volleyball tradition.
They're just a couple years removed from the Final Four appearance. They've got, you know, some really solid outside hitters, a real physical team. They scrap and play good defense, so we're going to have an opportunity to really step across the net, a well-prepared, well-coached, and athletic Jayhawk team.
The Eagles start the weekend tonight against Kansas at 8 p.m. They'll face Syracuse Friday at 5 p.m. and Arizona Saturday at 1 p.m. Moorhead's football team returns to the home field on Saturday. They'll host Kentucky Christian University for family weekend. KCU averages over 40 points per game and have 1,300 yards of offense in their first two games this season. Moorhead head coach Rob Tenier says the Knights have a really good team this season.
I think they're much improved since the last time that we played them. Of course, this is a new coach, and they've got some good football players, and we feel good about our game plan. But it's not going to be as easy as people anticipate. I think it's going to be a competitive game, and hopefully we can play well and find a way to win.
Kickoff at Jane Stadium is set for Saturday at 4 p.m. A former member of the Moorhead State University men's golf team is being inducted into the school's Athletic Hall of Fame. WMKY's Wyatt Melton reports.
Sean Armstrong will be inducted into the Moorhead State Athletic Hall of Fame at the university's banquet, also honoring alumni Hall of Fame members on October 18th. During the 1994 spring season, Armstrong put together perhaps his best performance at an OVC tournament. He fired a 36-hole total of 143 and finished second, just one stroke behind the winner. For his efforts in 1994, Armstrong was named All-OVC. Armstrong will be joining his wife, Jody Armstrong, a softball standout who was inducted in 2010. Sean Armstrong will be honored during the MSU homecoming football game on October 19th at 2 o'clock. For WMKY Sports, I'm Wyatt Melton reporting.
And finally, in sports this afternoon, the Cincinnati Reds are hoping to avoid the sweep in their final game against the Mariners tonight. Since he dropped the first two games, but not without a bright spot here and there. First baseman Brian O'Grady had 28 home runs in his last minor season and managed to pick up his first in the majors last night. He tells Fox Sports Ohio he's happy to get one in the big leagues.
You know, coming up here, I knew it was going to be tough, but I really try to put nice, easy swings on the ball. When I do that, the ball seems to carry better. So that's what I was trying to do tonight, and I'm just thankful that I finally got one.
First pitch tonight is set for 10:10 in Seattle. And that's going to do it for sports.
For WMKY, I'm Lori Likens.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Soccer welcomes Wright State on September 13th at 6 p.m., and football hosts Kentucky Christian on September 14th at 4 p.m. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks rose, approaching record levels as Wall Street digested a slew of U.S.-China trade news, along with a large bond-buying program from Europe's central bank. And the Dow Industrials did manage a gain of 45.41 at 27,182.45. The S&P 500 was up 8.64 at 3,009.57. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 24.79 at 8,194.47. President Trump agreed today to delay an additional increase, or I should say yesterday, President Trump agreed to delay an additional increase in tariffs on Chinese goods by 2 weeks as a gesture of goodwill. The move raised hopes of a thaw in trade frictions between the world's two largest economies. Chip makers such as ON Semiconductor and Advanced Micro Devices were strong today, with ON Semiconductor up 1% and Advanced Micro up 1.5%, and the tech sector was the best performer in the S&P 500, led by a 3% gain in PayPal. Also, Microsoft closed 1% higher. The Dow ended today's session just 0.6% below its all-time high set July 16th, while the S&P 500 was down, or was only 0.8% below its July 26th record, and the NASDAQ is 1.7% below its record high. In the commodities markets, oil was actually down 1.8% today on news that the Trump administration might possibly relax oil export limitations on Iran, and oil did finish at $55.11 a barrel. Gold was up 0.2% at $1,506.40 an ounce. In Europe, stocks had a fair day with the Stock 600 index up 0.2%. Asia had a pretty good day overall, with the Nikkei and the Shanghai Composite both up 0.75%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Community Trust Bank up 15 cents at $42.32, Marathon Petroleum down 91 cents at $53.20, CSX up 58 cents at $71.55, Kroger up 2 cents at $25.59, Anthem was down $1.57 at $248.24, and Yum Brands was down 57 cents to finish at $113.23. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Radio Eye, Kentucky's statewide daily reading service for the blind and visually impaired. Radio Eye's reading service offers newspapers, magazines, health materials, and grocery ads for independent living to people who are blind, visually impaired, or any disability that makes reading difficult or impossible. Radios are available to qualified applicants. More information is available by calling 859-422-6390 or online at radioeye.org.
Taking a look at some events coming up in the region, Rowan County Christmas will host a spaghetti dinner tonight at the Carl Perkins Community Center in Moorhead. Cost is $6 and includes spaghetti, drink, and dessert. All proceeds will benefit Rowan County Christmas to provide new toys and food vouchers to children and families.
Coffee Tree Books in Moorhead will host Louisville-based singer, songwriter, and author Will Oldham at 6 p.m. this evening. Oldham will perform and read selections from his latest book, Songs of Love and Horror. The performance is free and open to the public.
The Community Recycling Center, located near the Moorhead City Park, offers paper and document shredding services for Moorhead and Rowan County residents, community groups, businesses, and industry. Cost is $15 per hour. Securing confidential drop-off or pick-up by appointment at 784-1250. And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Wyatt Melton, Sarah Mead, Nacogdoches Miller, Shaw Marie Mosley, Cody Robinson, and Lori Likens. WUKY's Josh James, Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Jonathan Burton. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Keneally Roberts and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.